We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Excellent. Welcome everybody. My name is Chris Fluitt. We're in the middle of a series called Afterlife. Yes, in the middle of a series called Afterlife. I'm so blessed to be the lead pastor here at Redemption Church in the great city of Plano, Texas. I'm trying to get something off my ear. It is hard to play the piano and preach and all of that, but we're going to do it anyway. Here we go. The afterlife is a lot more than just heaven and hell. Have you heard that sentence before? You'll hear it even more. As we build an afterlife timeline in this series, we notice that there's a lot more to the afterlife than just eternity in heaven and in hell. In 2 weeks, we've talked about the rapture, and we've talked about the tribulation. If you miss those weeks, or you'd like to rewatch them, restudy them, I invite you to check out our videos and our full sermon notes. You listen. Full sermon notes on our website, redemptionplano.com. You just search this, full sermon notes. In fact, we're going to be touching so much scripture, we don't even have time to throw it on the screen today. So if you want to find all those references, they are in our sermon notes that we will be posting very shortly tomorrow. You can go check those out. Here is our afterlife timeline. Let's look at that up on the screen. We have a rapture. It happens maybe pre-trib, maybe mid-trib, maybe post-trib. I'll let you think about that. And it's attached to a seven-year tribulation. Tribulation is a seven-year period of time designed to get Israel ready to meet their Messiah, Jesus Christ. Today, in this third week of this series, we're going to be talking about the second coming and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The second coming and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Last week, we made it clear that the world is getting better. No, the world is getting worse, right? This world will continue to get worse. And as it enters the seven-year tribulation, man, it's going to get a lot worse. Judgment and wrath like no one has seen will be poured out upon the earth. It will be so terrible that people will beg to die. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 23, verse 30. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. There are going to be groups of people, a mass majority of people, that in this tribulation time don't want to be here anymore. I would rather die than face this. Lord, let a mountain fall on me. The world will be so bad that only one thing could make it better. Only one event could be powerful enough to stop this onslaught of evil. Only one person could show up to save the day. Church, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. What am I talking about? The second coming of Jesus Christ. When Jesus arrives, things get better. I'm telling you that that's our message to the world. That's our message right there. That's a synopsis of the gospel, that Jesus shows up and he makes it better. Through his death, his burial, and resurrection, you can live a new life and it is better. When Jesus arrives, everything gets better. Can I get a witness in here that when Jesus arrived in your life got better? Amen. It's my prayer that he would show up today and that you would feel better after coming to the house of God, that you were in his presence, that he would speak to you so strongly today, that it changes the direction of your life forever for better. Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. We have a really fancy name for that. We call that the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's really fancy, right? It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus came the first time, and he was born in a manger, right? He was born to bear the sins of the entire world. That's why he came the first time. When Jesus comes the second time, it will be to save the world.
We actually have a verse that says this very clearly, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Christ will come a second time. The prophet Zechariah tells us what that's going to be like. He gives us a little view, a little picture, snapshot of what it's going to be like when Jesus returns. Zechariah chapter 14, beginning at verse 3. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. My God will come and all the holy ones, some translations say saints, all his saints with him. This is the end of the tribulation that Zechariah is seeing. He's seeing this in a vision. He writes it down, tells us about it. This is at the end of the tribulation when Jesus goes out to fight against all the nations of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to have a beast of a system. It's going to be all kinds of nations together. And who is Jesus fighting on this day? He's fighting nations, according to Zechariah. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations. Who believes that this is the end of the tribulation? If it's not, then find me another time. Jesus fights nations. Yeah. It's got to be the end of the tribulation. On that day, his feet are going to stand on a mount called the Mount of Olives. Right?
Yeah.
All right. So on this day, his feet are going to stand in the very place where he preached a sermon on the That was the Mount of Olives, the Sermon on the Mount. He preached that well-known sermon. He gives us the Beatitudes, all the blessings. He gives us all that. He was standing on the Mount of Olives. There's another amazing time that takes place on the Mount of Olives. It's his ascension. He ascends into glory while he's standing at the Mount of Olives. All right? So, that mountain is going to be the same place that Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, his feet are going to touch down at the Mount of Olives, and it will no longer be a mountain. It will be a valley. That mountain is going to split in half and become a valley. That is the power of Jesus Christ returning to earth. I don't know who is going to be there to see that, but whoever sees that, it's got to be intimidating. You're getting ready to fight. This guy comes out, touches this mountain. It turns into a valley. And now you got to go fight him. I think I would repent, not fight that guy. Jesus is going to return at this exact place where his ascension took place. He's going to return at the exact place that he left. It's just as the angels told us in Acts chapter 1. They said, why do you keep looking up? This same Jesus is going to return in like manner. How did he leave? He went up into the sky. Well, guess what? He's coming back from the sky. And he's going to return to the same place where he left, the Mount of Olives. Right, let's look back at our timeline. Here is what this looks like on our aftermath timeline. Here we go. We've got Jesus returning with angels and with saints. All right. So this is one of the sticking points between pre-tribs and most post-tribulation rapture people. The post-tribulation people believe that he's just returning with angels, and it's something about the language. And pre-tribulation believes it's returning with Jesus is the saints that were raptured. But regardless, here is what's happening. Jesus returns. And multiple people tell this. Multiple people prophesy this.
And there's no questioning that this is a Bible teaching, that Jesus is going to return, and he returns when? At the end of the tribulation. You see, he's what ends the tribulation.
Yes.
I want to tell you that nothing would stop evil except that Jesus comes.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Nothing will stop death and sickness and poverty except that Jesus returns. And he returns with his angels and with his saints. So Jesus conquers. That's what happens. We're told in Revelation 19 that the Antichrist, that's the beast, and the false prophet are captured, and they are thrown where? They are thrown into the lake of fire. That's what you know as hell. The rest of the armies that were gathered together to destroy Israel were destroyed. Destroyed by who? They were destroyed by a sword that proceeds from the mouth of Jesus.
Yes.
Do you know this? Do you have this picture of Jesus? We have this picture of Jesus being this kind, gentle guy, and he's absolutely kind and he's absolutely gentle. He's good with children. He puts them on his lap. He loves them. But I'm telling you, the dude will throw down. The dude will conquer. The dude will fight. And he fights unlike anyone else. He fights with a word of truth. That's what that sword is all about. The sword represents the truth. The truth that is the word of God always defeats the enemy. When Jesus takes on Satan while he's fasting in the wilderness, all it takes is Jesus saying these words, "It is written." And it's like a sword shoots out and just defeats the enemy. Satan didn't know what to do. Can I tell you, it works for you too.
Yes.
Speak out the truth of the word of God. It wins the battle. Amen. So this ends the darkness of the tribulation. This ending of the tribulation becomes the beginning of something better. Not just better, not just a little bit better, a whole lot better. When Jesus arrives, things get better. This is the beginning of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus ends the tribulation, and it starts this period of time known as the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The first moments of the reign of Jesus are when he takes our adversary, the devil, and he does this. Revelation chapter 20. Look at what he does to that devil. "I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time." I want you to focus on this early part of the scripture. Satan is on a chain. The beginning of the reign of Jesus Christ is this picture. Satan on a chain. He's bound on a chain. He's sealed away in an unescapable prison called an abyss. And who is holding the chain in this story? This is my favorite part of it. It's just an unnamed, undescript angel. We don't know who this is. Could be his first day on the job. Just passed his angel training. It's like, "Hey, sir, what would you like me to do? Hold this chain." What I'm pointing out, this is not some archangel with a name that did a lot of powerful things, right? No, this is some nondescript angel, like any angel will do. Rent-an-angel. You know, you got policemen, you got rent-a-cops. It's like the rent-a-cop of angels.
Yes.
And he has got your enemy on a chain. It only takes one to subdue the devil. He's been lying to you all this time, making you think he's all bad. He's all powerful. He's got Hollywood all confused. Hollywood has these movies with the devil. It's like, oh, everyone run. It's the devil. Everybody's running. One angel, one chain, and he's bound. He can't get away. You stuck, devil, with one angel. My goodness, I want to tell you that what is happening right here, this is what's so amazing about the Bible. This is where you really have to read your Bible and pay attention to it, because what is happening here is something the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years earlier, well, really thousands of years earlier, has seen. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15, speaking about the devil, Lucifer. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. He's going to be thrown into a pit, right? An abyss. Those who see you, stare at you. Speaking of the devil. They ponder your fate. And they think this to themselves. They think, is this the man? Is this the one who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? When we see the devil subdued by Jesus Christ, put on a chain, and at the mercy of a single angel being thrown into the pit, we are going to wonder, what was all the fuss about? This guy, we believed this guy. This guy scared us. This guy tore us up. What is it? Can I tell you? You've got that knowledge right now. You don't have to wait for that day to come. You got that knowledge right now. Stop following the devil like he's bad. He's not bad. Our Jesus, he bad. He's the one who is awesome and powerful and a conqueror. My goodness. My goodness. I want you to look at this timeline. Back at this timeline. We're going to keep coming back to it. Satan is called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The true God of this world is Jesus Christ. And he has now come to earth, his second coming. He has chained up the fraud, Lucifer, and chained him up in the abyss. This is what happens at the very start of the millennial reign. Can I tell you something? You want to think, you want things to get better in your life? You need to let Jesus chain some things up. He can chain up your drug addiction. He can chain up your depression. He can chain up your low self-esteem. He can chain up your shame. He can chain it all up. Let him chain it all up. I want you to notice that Christ came back to earth to fight the battle of Armageddon. And all these amazing things happen. Satan's army is defeated. Satan is chained. He's sealed in the abyss. The Antichrist and false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. All this takes place right there very quickly at the return of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that Christ comes back. But here's something you cannot find in your Bible. You can't find where he ever leaves again. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ never leaves again. He's here for good. He's here, and he said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It's going to be true. Jesus Christ, his feet touch down, and he never lifts off again. Let's describe the millennial reign further. We're going to hit a lot of stuff here very quickly. Christ will reign over the earth for 1,000 years. That's what millennium means. It means 1,000. This happens before heaven and hell. See, a lot of us, we're just jumping straight to heaven and hell. You're just jumping over a portion of your scripture called the millennial reign. The reign happens after the rapture and tribulation. Now, some people have a different viewpoint of this, but here is what I want to bring to you. 1,000 years, where do you get 1,000 years from? That's a good question. Where do you get that number from? Well, is it literal? Some people think it's literal. Some people think it's symbolic. What if I brought you to a scripture where six times in seven verses, it says 1,000 years. Do you think that would be symbolic or literal? Sounds literal to me. Yes, absolutely. Revelation 20, we read some of it. Revelation 20 describes the events of the millennial reign. And in the first seven verses of chapter 20, it mentions 1,000 years six times. Repeats it. If you remember, your Bible doesn't repeat things unless it's really important information. Is that true? Yeah. If Jesus repeats something, it's because he really wants you to get it. He's just going to, I'll repeat it again. I'll repeat. He repeats several stories several times to his disciples. Yep. Yes. My goodness, it's really funny. They're slow to understand. It's a good thing we're not like that. I want to tell you that the repeating of 1,000 years leads me to think it's actually 1,000 years. To the day, 1,000 years. Also, we believe, you see, you got to be careful in your Bible what you choose to be literal and what you choose just to be symbolic. I believe literally Jesus is going to chain up the devil. I don't think that's symbolic. I think literally he's going to be sealed into an abyss and it's going to be dark in there. You're not going to want to be in there. I believe that's not symbolic. I believe that is literal. I believe literally Jesus went to a cross and his blood wasn't just symbolic. It was literal. I believe literally a trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ aren't going to symbolically rise. We're going to literally rise. You got to be careful with your doctrine because you can just seek the symbolic stuff. But I want to tell you, this stuff's too good to just be symbolic. My goodness, what's it called in football where you almost won? It was, but you know, you did really good. They call it something victory. It's a moral victory. You know what moral victories count on the standings? A loss. It's a loss. A moral victory is the coach will take that team back in the locker room, slap them upside the head and says, there's no moral victory. There's no symbolic victory. It's either a victory or it's a loss. I want to tell you that Jesus, the victory he brings us is not a moral victory. It's not symbolic. It is literal. And the gates of hell are trembling about it. It's a real victory. My goodness. We believe Jesus then will literally rule and reign on this earth. On this earth. 1,000 years. Jesus in the millennium. What's he going to be doing? What's Jesus going to be doing in the millennium? Well, real very quickly, Jesus will be reigning. And he does it well. The Lord Jesus will sit on the throne of David, fulfilling much prophetic scripture. He will rule the world in power, rule the world in righteousness, and rule the world in glory. His reign will usher in a time of peace and prosperity like nothing the world has ever experienced. You realize when you look at the world, one nation does really good and the other nation does terrible. And a lot of times the nation that's doing good is getting really cheap labor at where? The nation that's not doing really good. None of that will happen in his reign. Everybody's going to prosper. Everybody is going to prosper. Everybody. We will do away with phrases like, I live on the wrong side of the tracks. Nothing like that. His reign will finally bring justice and holiness into the world. It will be a one world government. It will be Jesus. 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 He's going to be reigning. Number two, he's going to be ruling. There's a difference between reigning and ruling. The Bible tells us that Jesus will rule the world with a scepter, with a rod of iron. Like a shepherd, he will guide the entire population of the world. He will rule as a judge. He will make the decisions that we can't make. And then third, Jesus will be receiving in the millennial kingdom. He will receive the glory that he has always deserved. All people from every nation, all skin colors, every race, every language will come and bow down at his feet and worship this king of glory. Instead of cursing his name, which you hear today, men will worship him and they will shout his praises. What a day that's going to be. I want to tell you that the world has never had a ruler like this. All human rulers are controlled by their lusts and their for power. Would you agree? If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
All right. They have lust for power, lust for wealth, lust for self-glory. Jesus, on the other hand, he's going to reign in perfect righteousness. Jesus will do things right. Jesus is the ruler that mankind has always looked for. That's what Jesus is going to be in this new millennia reign. What about people in the millennium? Well, there will be people in the new millennium. And these are people that made it through the tribulation. Ding, one moment they're going to be in the tribulation. The next moment, ding, they're in a new kingdom. A millennium reign of Jesus Christ. They're going to continue to live. They don't die. They keep living. They will populate the earth. There will be procreation. Children will be born in the millennial reign. There will also be death. However, it will be rare. People will live longer. There is one verse that says, if a man dies at the age of 100 in the millennial reign, he will be considered an infant. People will say, why did he die so young? That's the millennial reign with Jesus at the helm. There won't be sickness. None of it. There will be no disease. None of it. Or anyone born with a deformity. The scripture says all these things. God will remove the curse placed upon the earth at the fall of man. One of those curses went directly to the soil.
Yes.
Right? During the millennium, there will be an increase in the productivity of the earth. Johnson grass weeds are going to be gone. We're excited. Those little spiky weed seeds that you always step on, they're going to be gone. Praise the Lord. Animals are going to lose their need to be ferocious. Animals will lose their venom. And scripture is very specific about this. It says that the venom, like, it says, I believe, it says, like, children will play with the asp and not fear being bitten. There will be worldwide peace, and there will be no war. There will be free will. I want you to get this. Free will is not done away with. I don't believe it's God's design to ever do away with free will. There will be disagreements among people, but Jesus, who sits on the throne of David, will judge and he will keep the peace. There will be labor. There will be no laziness. On the other side of that coin, there will be no need for welfare. Neither of those things. All needs will be provided for by the labor of men under the direction of the King of Kings. No one will steal your stuff. There will be no oppression, no more racism, social, political, economic, religious oppression, none of that. It'll all be gone. Unified language, all language barriers will be removed. There will be unified worship. The entire world will look up and see the one true God, and they will worship the one true God. There won't be a certain group over here worshiping a different God. No one will be over here worshiping a tree. No one here will be worshiping a fill-in-the-blank false deity. Everyone will be worshiping the one true God, and we will call him by name. His name is Jesus. Amen. Fellowship with God will be expressed in an unprecedented degree. For everyone will enjoy open access to Jesus Christ. Not only can you see Jesus face to face on the earth, but also everyone will have direct communication with Jesus from wherever they are on the earth. Isaiah 65, 24 says this, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. I want you to picture this, that you're living in Plano, Texas, and Jesus in the millennial reign, They're still going to be Texas in the middle of the rain. I believe it. Jesus is going to be sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. And you, from your kitchen table, don't have to pick up a phone. Don't have to do text message. You just start talking to him. And before you finish, he already hears you. And he's already talking to you. That is everyone on the face of the planet in this millennial reign. That's unprecedented. It's unprecedented. I'm going to tell you, that goes beyond prayer. That really is what prayer is in faith.
Yes.
But here, my goodness, not only you will be able to see him face to face and talk to him from wherever you are on the face of the planet. It's amazing. It's pretty exciting, right?
Yes.
I want to tell you, it's exciting not to go straight to heaven.
Yes.
Some of y'all are like, I don't know, is that okay to say? Yes. Yes, it is okay to say that. Because it's in the Bible. We don't go straight to heaven. There is a millennial reign coming. And we can see some of the attributes of heaven in this 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Christ is doing what? He is showing off his kingdom. When he came to earth the first time, he showed off his kingdom inside himself. Now he's showing it off on the entire world. And it'll be completed with heaven. Remember when Jesus said these words? He said it in a prayer. Thy kingdom come. He prayed that. Lord, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is going to bring the will of heaven down to earth. This is that moment in the millennial reign. The earth will be populated by those who made it through the tribulation, but there are others. Everyone say others.
Others.
It's like an episode of Lost. Anybody remember? I'm totally dating myself. Is that true? Am I dating myself? Yeah, the others in Lost. Wait. Revelation 24 talks about these others, right? I saw thrones on which were seated others, those who had been given authority to judge. Who are those? Who are these people? They're sitting on thrones. They're given authority to judge. I'm going to tell you that these are the raptured in the millennium. Last week we talked about the rapture. That's the catching away of a prepared bride of Christ. Those that have been raptured from earth will return to earth in the millennium reign. We believe that we will return with him at the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Those that have been raptured, I want to tell you, they have it better than everyone else in that 1,000-year reign. They have it better. I mean, it's really cool, the stuff about there's no ferocious animals and, you know, prosperity and peace. All that stuff is awesome, awesome, awesome. As good as it is, Ashley, it's better for us that are in the rapture. How can it be better? Well, we're going to be talking about that very soon. I want to tell you, if you have been raptured, you have it better than everyone else. And we want you to receive what I call the rapture reward. There is something better than heaven. The reward for those in the rapture is great. You need to make up your mind. Above all things, I want to be ready. I want to live a life that is always looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking more about that in the next few weeks. I really am excited about it. I need to answer this question, though. Moving on. Why? What's this all about? Why the rapture? Why the millennial reign? I can give it to you in one sentence. Because God has so much more to show us. Do you think you know everything there is to know about God? Think again. You do not know everything there is to know about God. God gave us Jesus Christ, right? And this gift revealed more about God than we had ever known. Agreed? Yeah. We know more about God than we ever knew because we saw God wrapped in flesh walking around us. We saw God literally kneel down in the ground and write in the dirt to save a woman's life. We saw him reach out and touch the leper. We saw him call people like fishermen, people like you and me, people like Zacchaeus up in a tree. We saw him not put up with dishonesty and turn over tables. We saw him do all these things. We saw him take the nail pierce in his hands for us. And all of it revealed God. That's God who did all those things. One of the most amazing revelations happened in your Bible when an angel says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That was the last time that God revealed a name to us. Newsflash, every time God reveals a name to us, it's a big deal. Right? Big deal. When he revealed his name as Jesus, it revealed that God has come to save us himself. His own self is going to save us. His own flesh and his own blood. That's what Jesus said. That was the last time God revealed a name. It's about 2,000 years ago. That is 2,000 years ago. That was the last time he revealed a name. Well, listen up. In the millennial reign, God is going to reveal a new name. And those that are raptured, he will write that name upon them. What does that mean? I don't know, but it's going to be big.
Yes.
It's going to be a big deal.
Thank you, Jesus.
Gosh, what does that mean? That means God is going to reveal more about us than we ever knew. We've been studying the I am statements of Jesus. Every time he gives an I am statement, it reveals more about himself. And it ties into Moses going to those slaves in Egypt. And they ask, who sent us? And the answer was, I am that I am has sent us. And then God proceeds to show them over and over again, I am healing. I am victory. I am with you. I am. He shows us that that's the power of his name. I'm telling you, God is going to show us his name. And with it, he's going to reveal more about himself and more about how he loves us than we ever realized. You can't get ready for this. It's going to blow you away. The end of the millennial reign, somebody's going to be set free. I want to tell you, he doesn't jailbreak. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Satan. He doesn't sneak out. He doesn't wait while a prison angel guard is sleeping. No one sends him a file and a birthday cake. None of those scenarios happen. Satan is released, however, at the end of the millennial reign. Did you know this? He ends up in a prison. He ends up in a jail. In a pit. But he's set free towards the end of the millennial reign. Let's throw that up on the screen. Let them see that. So Satan is loosed. Here's the highlights for you. He deceives people. Big surprise there. Who would have thought Satan would deceive people? My goodness. He gathers an army. He surrounds somewhere new, well, like Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He's got no new plans at all. Do you notice this? Deceiving people. He wants to destroy Jerusalem. And then his army is devoured by fire. And Satan is not thrown into a pit this time. He is thrown into the lake of fire. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is to be released. He deceives enough people to create an army. And he marches that army to surround Jerusalem, where Jesus is enthroned. It is there that Satan's army is devoured by fire straight from heaven. Satan then joins the false prophet and the Antichrist in the lake of fire. The first three individuals to enter hell are the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. Can I tell you, hell was not made for you. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We're going to be preaching on hell a little bit, but you listen to me. Hell was not created for you. It was created for the enemy.
Yeah.
You are not his enemy. You were never meant to be his enemy. You are meant to be his child. He loves you.
He loves you.
My goodness. And this is the end of Satan. You can read about it in Revelation 20. And you know what? That's not where the Bible ends. Because this story has never been about the devil. It's really about what happens later. We'll get to it. Two words describe this moment. Jesus wins. Say it. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. I don't know what you got going on in your life. I feel like declaring it. Jesus wins. Your fear, the thing that's tormenting you, I want to say it to you. Jesus wins. Some of you were worried about your future. You're worried about the next step. Oh, I can tell you what happens. Here's what happens. Jesus wins. You listen to that. You take that in your heart. Do you want him to win in your life today? We're getting ready to draw to a close. But I gave you a lot of information. But here is the crux of it. If you can give me all your attention and all your heart right now, this is what I want you to know about more than anything. Say these two words, King Jesus.
King Jesus.
The first time Jesus came to earth, he came as a suffering servant. Yeah. Isaiah prophesied that to us. He came to bear the sins of all men. We read that today in Hebrews. The second time he comes to earth, he's going to be a conquering king. Daniel says that in Daniel 2. He says he's going to create a kingdom that has no ending to it. This is in front of us, y'all. There are some scriptures that you love to quote that won't ever be fulfilled until the day Jesus Christ shows up and reigns on earth. And here is one that you quote every Christmas. You might not have realized it is about the millennial reign. Here it is. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. As good as Jesus is the government on his shoulders? I mean, we talk about being one nation under God, but let's not kid ourselves. The government's not on the shoulders of Jesus here, nor any government on the face of the planet. But this prophesies that this child that's going to be born, the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government. There's that word again. And peace. There will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Jesus is the King that we've always been looking for. We're in election season. It is what it is. I want to tell you, Jesus is the politician we've always needed. He's the senator, the congressman, the president, the prime minister. He's the one that we've always needed. It says of the increase of his government and peace. Have you ever noticed that when government increases, it doesn't increase peacefully? Do you know how kingdoms gain land? Violence. That's how they gain land. Sometimes you buy land, but often you get that land by stealing it from your own people. You stealing the money from your own people. But God's kingdom will always increase. And it will always be increasing in peace. Every bit of it. That's his kingdom. It's the kingdom we've always been looking for. And it's the king we've always been looking for. His government is righteous. His government is peaceful. Our world has a lot of people looking for a better world. And sometimes we in the church make fun of that a little bit. And we should knock that off a little bit. Listen, there's some people that want to save the environment, right? I want to tell you, I just want to grab those people and say, you know who will save the environment? It's Jesus. We've got people that are marching with signs of varying protests all over. And I just want to grab these people and tell them the message that the king that they're looking for, the policy change they're really looking for is when Jesus Christ comes to earth. He's going to make all of this right. I want to tell you, you're going to be looking at your last news story that makes you sad when Jesus Christ comes to earth. You don't have to wait for the millennial reign for him to become your king. The king you've been looking for, he's here right now. You watch and listen online. He's in the room with you. The king that you're looking for, he's here right now. You can let God's kingdom come to your life right now. You can let him rule in peace. He'll do it right now. It's time to allow Christ to become our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. These altars are open right now. Why don't you come talk to the Lord? You listening, watching online, please talk to the Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.